Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
One early pro football team that we have not recorded much on the history of is the Canton Bulldogs. We start our multi-episode look at this extremely important team in gridiron history with our origin and taking them into some early years of playing football professionally. It's all coming up with the Canton Bulldogs in just a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at SportsHistoryNetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome once again to the Pigpen, your portal to positive football history. And we are back in our early roots of professional football teams. And we're going to talk about one of the big guys, one of the ones that might be the most famous of them all, the Canton Bulldogs. Yeah, the Canton Bulldogs may be the most well-recognized of all the now-defunct National Football League franchises. After all, it was a former owner of theirs, Ralph Hay, that hosted a series of meetings in 1920 that ultimately started the National Football League. But how did the Canton 11 come about, and what's their story? Well, that's some answers that we plan on trying to answer for you today, at least the origin story. But the story of the Canton Bulldogs starts back in 1903. If you remember back to some previous articles that we posted, it was right about this time in history when professional football started migrating across the Pennsylvania state line into Ohio. But we can go maybe even back further than that, because prior to gridiron players getting paid in Canton, the city supported and sported a very strong amateur team. A PFRA 1987 post claims that the Cantons were playing some good football as early as 1892. In the same PFRA post, they show that the Canton Athletic Club sent out its first football team by that name in the year 1895. And from the late 1890s to about 1902, the Stark County 11 team completed with some of the big teams of that time, the Akron East Ends and others, for Ohio Independent Championships. Now, however, the success of these amateurs faded when the Maslin Tigers arrived on the scene of football and soon went to the route of paying their players to make them a professional ball club. While the athletic clubs and associations that have been providing avenues for young men to spend their disposable income and extra leisure time since the Civil War were now escalating competition in the how a region of each other to see who could be the more dominant team on the gridiron. These contests transitions from bragging rights to all-out gambling incursions, which put pressure on team managers to fuel getting better players to send out to represent their clubs. Maslin, sitting not too far from Canton, 8 miles away, had a spirited high school rivalry with their neighbors, as we discussed with historian and local Canton resident George Bozica back in the year 2021 in an interview on Pigskin Dispatch. Now, Maslin was the first to flex their muscle in the local area as they gained superiority over Akron and Canton and others by hiring gridiron mercenaries such as Pittsburgh professionals like Bob Shiring. Some say that they were paid players for the athletic club as early as 1903, but officially Canton established on November 15, 1904, a pro gridiron association as the Canton Athletic Club. Canton AC was designed to operate baseball and football teams, and a public announcement stated that the football team was to be a professional organization, in quotes, complete with, quote, professional coach, end quote. The Maslin Tigers had won the Ohio League Championship in 1903 and 1904, that mythical league where mostly Ohio teams played. And this did not sit well with the folks in Canton. local Canton businessmen George Williams and John Rommel rallied support to defend their city's reputation on the gridiron versus Massillon. You know, they spearheaded a group that decided that they must build a pro championship team of their own, and more important, knock Massillon from its high horse on the gridiron. The men convinced their colleagues that building a winning football program and staying on top of Massillon were both great for business and the local Canton economy, as well as civic pride. So Williams was assigned as the manager of the Canton AC, and he was charged with fielding a team of not only to compete with the likes of Massillon, but to defeat them. To do this, Canton went out and offered money to the best players on all the other Ohio teams. First, they gathered up funding and hired their first ever paid coach, Bill Lobb, who was poached from rival Akron East Ends in that squad that they were competing with. In 1905, Lobb led the Canton AC to a fast start with a 7-0 record. He then led his squad east into Pennsylvania to face one of the top teams in the nation, the La Trobe Athletic Club, and their quarterback, John Brailleur. Now, that name may sound very familiar, and if you remember, Brailleur was for the longest time considered to be the first paid professional football player until evidence of an early payout to Pudge Heffelfinger disproved his claim. Well, La Trobe played tough at home and gave Canton 11 their first setback of 1905 by the score of 6-0. And this was not only the only negative that came out of this contest, as you know, Lobb, their coach and best player, was injured in a tough fought game and it would miss the rest of the season. So in steps former Penn Quaker star and All-American and former Pennsylvania Pro Pigskin stalwart Blondie Wallace. He took over as the leader of the club team on the field. This transition was somewhat of an auspicious beginning for professional football in that region. Just a couple weeks later, the Massillon Tigers would defeat the Canton 11 14-4 to capture yet again another Ohio State Championship title, third in a row for Massillon. The next year, this Canton team had somewhat of an identity shift as they adopted the Bulldog as their mascot moniker. Now, no one is totally clear on where the Bulldog came from in association with the Canton team, but whatever the reason, the tenacity of a Bulldog was befitting of the team. This tenacity of the team, along with the win-at-all-costs attitudes of Williams and Wallace, would propel professional football into one of its darkest times in history. We'll take a look at this saga of 1906 in part two of the Canton Bulldogs, coming soon here on PigskinDispatch.com in our look at early professional football teams. But don't worry, we have football history coming to you each and every day. So stay tuned. We're going to have some great, exciting things. Our next episode is going to have our good friend, Timothy P. Brown, the author and historian from Football Archaeology, coming to talk about one of his little tidbit topics that I think you might be quite astonished at, with something to do with the field, the playing field, and a great contribution there. And I don't think you want to miss that because it's going to be a good one. So till tomorrow, everybody, have a great gridiron day.
Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast.
We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. A special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hey there, football fans. This is Ross, the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcasts. It's found right here on the Sports History Network.